So here's a sign that technology is putting sort of culture in transition here. Listen to this. A Michigan man killed a grandmother, allegedly while texting and driving. Well, at least allegedly enough, he was sentenced last month to 1 month in jail and 12 months of probation. Now, it's hard to compare, but a similar sort of death of a grandmother from drunk driving could be as severe as a manslaughter charge, with much higher degree of punishment. But institutions of law enforcement and detection are just coming to grips with the texting problem, which, of course, has overrun law enforcement on the roads. How dangerous is texting? Well, you can text the word take along with your response to 69866.
While you're pulled over.
And you can actually see where texting offenders are in the country. We've actually mapped them at thetakeaway.org. If you click on blog, you can see a map of your own responses and maybe drive around to some of those.
It's like a GPS map where you see texters driving down
actually,
the road.
I wish that was the case sometimes. I wish I could get out of the way. Sometimes I'm stuck in traffic here in New York, and I see people texting on all sides of me.
Ugh.
It's terrifying. Daniel V. McGehee joins us now, research scientist and director of the Human Factors and Vehicle Safety Research Program at the University of Iowa Public Policy Center. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think the state of institutions beginning to deal with the severity of texting while driving is? It's an impaired driving situation. It's not. It doesn't have the sort of moral stigma that drunk driving has, but in terms of impact on society, it's up there.
Yeah, it's something that's been slow to catch on relative to alcohol, which over the last 40 years has really taken on a new meaning in terms of social norming. But texting and driving is just now starting to ramp up. We don't really see it as a bad or dangerous thing because we're all taken up with it.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving caused a real sea change in American culture and norms, as you say. I gather the equivalent would be Geeks Against Texting or something. Here are some of our listeners weighing in. Listen to this.
This is John calling from Palm Beach Gardens. With an 85-mile commute each way, texting, tweeting, emailing, I'm horrible. Sadly, I actually once wrote a brochure on my BlackBerry driving across Alligator Alley, but I know I should have the discipline to stop myself, but you get bored.
How to weigh in, 877-8-MY-TAKE. Now, you can't even imagine an equivalent conversation, Daniel V. McGehee, of him, I couldn't resist picking up the bottle and taking a swig during my 85-mile commute, but texting is irresistible.
Yeah, it's something that as it's become such a part of our communication now that it's hard for us to put that phone down. And unfortunately, it leads to many horrible crashes. I mean, and while he's typing out that brochure, I'm sure that his speed is modulating to very high, very slow. He's deviating his lane and all sorts of things. So he's really not seeing much about what's going on around him.
What's the fix here? And, you think about this as a researcher at the University of Iowa. I mean, could you wirelessly set up your car so that with a Bluetooth trigger of some kind or another that you reach over to text and suddenly the car, slows down?
Well, I think in many consumer product designs where something is dangerous, you try to design the hazard out of it by guarding it. And so one possible method is to essentially suppress your phone while your vehicle is moving. And all new phones generally have a GPS feature. The phone knows when it's moving, and it could essentially automatically be turned off if you wanted to do that.
You know, it's funny, Daniel McGehee's with the Safety Research Program at the University of Iowa. You know, it's funny, right now it feels like a completely oddball comparison to compare drunk driving with texting, and yet there was a time not all that long ago when people very blithely talked about having one more for the road, when it was normal for people to feel like they're not impaired if they've just had a couple drinks. So maybe if we can look at that moment, how we transformed that very normal behavior, which was dangerous, into something which has become a moral hazard, which has become anathema, maybe it can help us figure out how to make a social change to get rid of texting.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Celeste. If you look 40 years ago when you went to a party and Uncle Bob had a six-pack and everybody knew he was going to drive home, that was pretty normal because Bob said, hey, I can do this. People say the same thing, just as your caller said, I can drive to work and create a brochure on road. You know, that's today. I think in a number of years, that will be very much frowned upon.
But what is the trigger? Here's another one of our listeners, Daniel.
This is Seth from Hoboken, and I do text while I drive, but only because it's easier, not safer, to get away with than talking on the phone.
Listener reached us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. So it's easier to get away with. There's less of a moral hazard associated with it. It's easier to do than even, you know, sort of removing a tab from a beer can. What's going to be the trigger that changes everything?
Well, I would disagree that it's easier. When we see texting, it requires you to take your eyes and your hands off the wheel or off of driving. And that's really what we see as the most dangerous element of texting, because it is the most distracting thing you can do while you drive.
And how does that relate to casualties on the road versus other impaired driving phenomena?
Well, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that over 5,000 people a year are killed in distraction-related crashes. We don't know specifically how many of those are related to texting or cell phones in general, but it's a huge problem.
You know, this converges with our issues of privacy in the culture. I mean, conceivably, a GPS phone could notify the cops that it's being used on the road, right?
That's possible, but unlikely. We're not very good about allowing those kinds of things.
Although cops could see texting drivers on the road in some sense and know who to chase.
Yes, well, I think there are other methods that they can see from overpasses. They have a number of good methods to be able to do that today.
All right, interesting to think about. Daniel V. McGeehee is a research scientist and director of the Human Factors and Vehicle Safety Research Program at the University of Iowa Public Policy Center. Tell us your texting while driving story. Head to thetakeaway.org, click on blog. You can see a map of your responses or just call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.